I'm Julie. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic, and I'm profoundly grateful to be here today and to be abstinent from what is for me crack. I'm a low down compulsive with food person. There's not enough time to tell you all that I'd love to tell you, but my understanding is my job. And thank you, Nina. As one of my sponsors says to me, anything you see in me is because it's in you. And you are all I affectionately call you my group of drunks. So I don't use the word God, and I am so grateful to have a place where I'm not alone. What it was like was hell on earth. I got to a place where I didn't really want to be here. I didn't know why I'm here. I thought this was about calories and body, and that's the way it manifests, but it's not. It's about a super big hole in my soul. You teach me that this is a threefold thing. It's a thing. One of the things I like to remember is in life, it's just a thing. And I got that phrase from a friend who just went through cancer. So I'm just saying. And he decided he was going to look at it as just a thing. So what it was like was hell on earth. I couldn't stop throwing up. I come from violent binging. I'm a shopping bag binger. I remember carrying shopping bags of food as a kid. And that's going back a very long time. I'm about to be 67. I remember from when I was like five, six, carrying bags of Halloween stuff. And that's where I think my obsession with food began, but I didn't turn into a, forgive me for this one food reference, cucumber. Cucumber becoming a pickle. That's what they say in the drinking program. I became a pickle pretty early. I was in my teens, started counting calories. I'm a little embarrassed to tell you. I was voted back when we would call it figure. I had the best figure when I was 14, and I thought I was not okay. I needed to fix my body. So that's where my brain started going. By 16, I discovered putting my fingers down my throat. What I can tell you about my abstinence is that if this was Bulimics Anonymous, I'd be abstinent for 38 years, but it's not. So I can't say that I haven't done food behaviors or, there haven't been moments of compulsivity. Generally, for most of this time, it's been I eat three meals a day. I don't eat in between unless it's worked out with my sponsor. I measure food when I'm home, and I don't eat the things that make me cuckoo. But it's not a perfect line. It's been quite a while now, so I'm happy to say details to anybody, but. And I'm a person who I like things cut and dry. I'd love to be able to tell you. I used to say I have 32 years of abstinence. I didn't feel good about saying that anymore because the definition since I came in has changed. It's abstaining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. Not my rules, your rules. So, I have to be, if anything, rigorously honest here. So what I want to focus on is what happened. I found you beautiful people. Again, happy to talk one-on-one about any detail that I don't share here. But since there's only limited time, I want to focus on the solution. How? And just this morning, I go to a meeting every morning. Every morning. I go to the sunrise meeting, and it's a phone meeting. And today's reading was from the Four Today, and it was about craving. And I'm incredulous every day. The craving is actually removed, like it says in the AA Big Book. It's as if the problem has been removed. It's kind of weird because not only way back, but even when I've had trouble in the program, it was not removed. Like when it comes back, it is not only a monkey on my shoulder, it's a python around my neck. I can't hear what you're saying because I'm thinking about me and what I ate or what I'm going to eat or what my body is and my cellulite and my imperfect skin and my. Oh, And what you teach me is comparison is the thief, or better yet, the death of joy. I don't compare to others anymore. I have the first thought to do it, but then I get a pause, postponing action until serenity enters or emerges. I love acronyms, by the way. I hope they're not annoying to anybody. I have hundreds of them. And I mean, let's talk about God. All right. Forgive me, but this is a secular meeting. So I hear the word God and it I have to translate. And I'm still translating. It was 37 years later. So I like to take what works and leave the rest. So there is something other than me. For me, it is not a man on a mountain. It's not even anything. It's certainly not personified, but something happens here, right here in this moment. Like you force me to be rigorously honest with myself. I can't tell you something in a meeting that's not true. I mean, I could, but I find it doesn't work. I get a feeling in my gut, so I have to tell you the truth. So the truth is, I just know I can't do it. I've had enough proof to know that left to my own devices, I'm cuckoo with this stuff. I don't. I had a sponsor who said, it's like brakes, that faulty brakes. They might work on a car, like for a really long time, but somewhere they're going to go out. That's what happens for me. I'm not normal. I on certain days, this looks like too much, and this is not enough. And I mean it. I mean, there are days every single meal when I'm done, I'm like, dang, I want more. But it's rare lately because I keep expanding my spiritual life. For a non-God person like me, what did that mean? That sounds religious. Well, what I found is it's not. Here's how I see it. There are three parts to this thing. I have to deal with the physical. It's got to be surrender. I had a sponsor who said, Julie, you got to throw the gun down. What that means for me is I got to do stuff every day I don't feel like doing. And I have to repeat it over and over and over and over. This is the only way I personally can get out of the food, because this thing will, it'll kill me. It literally almost did kill me. I mean, hospitals, almost lost my teeth. There's plenty of physical stuff that has happened. I mean, I was throwing up. I had a sponsee. I was throwing up so much. I had a sponsee who was a millimeter away from losing her eyesight from a throw up. She had a bright red eye, and the doctor told her, you were this close. And that could have been me. I mean, but to keep it to me, I was almost hit by cars. I used to drive while binging. It is a wonder I didn't hurt anybody, or drive right off the George Washington Bridge. I live in Manhattan, and I used to drive. This was back in my 20s. I'm a performer. I was singing in the Catskills. I would drive back home to Manhattan, and I would stop in Fort Lee, New Jersey, buy shopping bags of food, and there I am. I would perform in front of thousands of people. I would go back to my hotel room in my gown. No, before I was performing, I would be binging. I'd go out, and then, I mean, I'm just giving you snapshots. That's where I come from. The thing is, what I'm learning now, I'm studying the brain, and I think that so much of this is wiring. I'm wired differently. I don't know if it happened when I was 5 or 6 or I was born. Kind of doesn't matter. It says in the big book, self-knowledge avails us nothing. For me, what that means is it doesn't avail me nothing for learning about what to watch for, learning about, oh, I had trauma. I discovered some just this week from childhood that I just didn't even occur to me. All right, so I'll give you the example. Well, I'll just finish the thought, which is I have a brain problem. I can't control the first thought. Oh, I want to binge. Or, oh, the tr you know, that person is angry at me. I'm back. I'm a child. They're going to hit me. No, I can, the power that's other than me is in the pause. And I didn't have the pause. But with you teach me. So every day I have to practice. I get hit with a trauma. Stop. That's not happening. I am an adult woman with grown children. My life is beautiful. I'm okay. I will be okay no matter what. And then act. So I don't live in reaction, but it is far from a perfect process. Just this week, I don't know how it occurred to me, but I was like, I was hit as a kid. It wasn't, as I told somebody, it wasn't that bad. I was slapped, nothing like what other people go through. But my eldest brother was really beaten up. And my mother was so apologetic in later life. She was a kid when she had him. So was my dad. And they did things they wish they didn't do. And it suddenly occurred to me, because we're 9 years apart, I called him. I said, did I see when you were getting beaten up? He said, Julie, of course. And I've, wow, I got such a light bulb. No wonder I have a pathological need not only to be liked and loved, but that you're going to hit me. If someone has an assertive personality, because I have a very accommodating personality in work, we have to talk or something. I'm like, I go into trauma mode. Like, what the F, man? I don't want to live like this. But so I'm telling you, I may be all over the place. My point is, the eating disorder is I'm seeking relief. We're all see it's not our fault. We're just seeking relief. I want to be soothed, And what you give me is so much, it's so much greater. Here's the thing. This universe, as I see it, I have a sponsor who calls it this power. A river of love and mercy. I love that. I think of it as the universe. I look out the window and I can see the East River. I look at the river. Like, I could no sooner create or control this thing of water than I could be an astronaut. Well, I guess I could. I don't know if I could be an astronaut. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't control. There's very little I can control, by the way. That's something I focus on. I can control my attitudes and my actions. That's it. That's it. And I'll even narrow it further. If I were put in prison today, I would still have my attitudes. That's the thing. I can wake up grateful every day. They say a grateful alcoholic doesn't drink. A grateful compulsive eater like me, I don't have room in my pea brain. It ricochets out all the bad stuff when I remain grateful. And man, am I grateful. So I do it when I wake up. So I smile physically before my feet hit the ground, and I read my personal constitution. I have written out a very significant personal constitution, how I'm going to live today. I see your flaws, but I don't see your struggles. I don't make assumptions. Nothing is personal. Nothing. First and foremost, I take care of my mind, body, spirit. I want to be a proud example for my children. Am I living in integrity? Like, I say all these things out loud. So this is how I live. And I have a choice. Oh, here's one I heard. How crazy. I take a lot of notes, so I wanted to read this one to you. Nothing has to fill a hole anymore because there isn't one. If there's no discomfort, clarity usually isn't happening. Recovery is doing things someone else's way. Anyway, I take a lot of notes. My point in telling you all this is I have to do stuff I don't feel like doing. Sorry, this is not really linear. There's so many things I want to say. But when I do that, when I repeat these things that you suggest, and I turn my will, what I want, when I want it. I don't know where I got that, by the way. I was like born into this world, and I'm like, why, why is the weather not the way I like it? Why are people not doing what I want them to do? But that's the crux of it. The big book talks about when I have a problem, it's about some person, place, or thing is not being the way I want it to be. And I will get no relief until I accept. And the thing about the acceptance, I thought it meant I had to agree with it or like it.
Word for
Not
word.
at all. Not at all. I'm sorry. Do you say the end?
I think we did it. I think you're brilliant. I know you're brilliant, Natasha. Otherwise, you would.
Oh, sorry. Somebody's unmuted. I can't, my eyes can't see. Just let me know if when I get close. So the thing about, sorry, I lost my train of thought. All right, so I'm going to go back to there was something else I wanted to tell you that I oh, what we don't change, we choose. I heard that recently, and that really knocked me out. I think it's okay, somebody was unmuted. So what we don't change, we choose. Wow. Am I taking responsibility when I'm having, I mean, all right, so if I'm having trouble with food, am I picking up the phone? Am I talking to my sponsor? Am I talking to a person who does nutrition? Am I going to the doctor? And here's some like practical miracles, by the way. I have medical conditions. I have osteoporosis. I found out I had like high blood sugar and like things that I've never had before. And cholesterol, like I always had super, super, super low. And all of a sudden this year, boom. And my mother had gotten this later in life, and they think it's probably hereditary because when they looked at my food, it was so funny. They were telling me, you probably shouldn't eat X. And I'm like, here's what I eat. Like, I don't think I've had a saturated fat in about 20 years, kind of stuff. It was just really funny to talk to the doctors. And so anyway, they were going to put me on meds, and I said, if you don't mind, how about I try, some adjustments? Oh yeah, you can try adjusting, So I did research. I changed some food. Did not want to, by the way. Gave up like one of my really favorite proteins. Whatever, whatever. This is not me doing it. This is the power that's other than me. I want what I want when I want it. I'm a volume person. I want to feel super full until I'm like too full. Like I. And what you teach me, what I learn with food expands to everything else. So it starts with the food. Long story short, those tests were in September. I just got results. I'm out of the range. I'm out of the range of like needing meds. I'm like back in normal instead of pre-diabetes and all this kind of stuff. Not me doing it. No way. No way. Anyway, that's just like and I'm not a medical doctor, and this is only my experience. I'm just saying, like, wow. But getting to that, I've had in the last week or two, I keep plunging because of various circumstances in my life. My mood. I usually walk around with pretty much joy every day, but I've had some trouble. And something happened this week, two things that I could not have foreseen about the things I'm worrying about. Like my pea brain, and I say that with affection. It's not like, oh, I have a small brain. No, my brain can't see the things that are possible. That doesn't mean things are always going to go well or that these nice things happen. Sometimes they're really bad things that happen.
2 minutes.
Thank you so much, Ursula. But I was like that's an example of, for me, just continuing to act my way into right thinking. Act my brain. I need rewiring every day. I have a negativity bias and the eating disorder, and all, I have an anxiety disorder, whatever. You don't need to hear my diagnoses, but I see it as like going to the gym. So I have osteoporosis. They suggest I lift weights. Don't love it, I have to say. But if I want my bicep to be stronger, I do a curl. I pick the thing up. I see that it's going to sound a little corny, but I see this stuff as spiritual exercises. So every day I have to do this stuff. I'm not really good at meditating, but I sit on the couch for 5 minutes. And somebody gave me an app recently that's been helping, guided meditation. Whatever. And first and foremost, I am abstinent no matter what. As one of my sponsors says, and there are a lot of what's, I can think of a million reasons, and some of them are pretty big. My mom, let's say my mom died, there's a big one. I got diagnosed with cancer. I did. Those are, shouldn't I eat? No. Because then I got another problem. And it doesn't help the first one. And I'm gonna want to die. That's where it takes me. So anyway, I don't know how I feel like there's a million things I'd love to say, but I can't thank you enough for being here. You literally save my life every day, every single day. And I'm beyond grateful. So thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.